Hello and welcome to Nareit's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, and today we're looking at real estate deal activity with Tim Bodner, U.S. Real Estate Deals Leader at PwC. Tim, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
So Tim, let's begin by looking back to 2019. What do the numbers tell us in terms of deal volume and value?
Sure. So I think when you look at it by a number of measures, 2019 was a strong year for deals activity. And while it was down in terms of both volume and value relative to 2018, it was higher than 2017. It was roughly proximate to what we saw in 2016. And it's kind of continued the broader trend that we've been seeing in the marketplace going back to 2014. I think when you look at it and break apart volume and value by sector, most of the decline that we saw in 2019 was in the lodging and the retail sector. For retail, value was down 31% and volume was down roughly 2%. And most of that decline is attributable to a very large $27 billion entity level transaction that occurred in 2018. And while there's still strength in the consumer and resultant retail sales, there is an increasing percentage being driven by e-commerce. So as of the end of the third quarter of 2019, roughly 11% of retail sales was driven by e-commerce, and that was relative to 10% the year before. So, you know, there continues to be a, you know, an operating environment where the retail sector needs to evolve to kind of shifting market dynamics. When you look at it on the other side of the coin, logistics was up significantly. It was up 13% on value, down a little bit on volume. And most of that growth or increase that we saw in 2019 is really driven by a couple large portfolio entity level transactions and continues to demonstrate the energy and conviction behind the global logistics theme in the marketplace. On the lodging side, it's kind of similar to what we saw on the retail side in terms of a decline, and most of that again was driven by some entity level activity. So again, overall, across a number of measures, 2019 was a strong year. And, you know, I think what we saw happen is kind of reflective of just a normal kind of year-to-year market dynamics.
And you mentioned the logistics sector did particularly well last year. How did other sectors compare with that? And were there any deals that really stood out from the crowd?
Yeah, I think when you look at specific deals, and if you start with the REIT mergers and acquisition activity in 2019, there were nine REIT M&A deals comprising about $24 billion of activity. And of this, roughly $17 billion, or approximately 70%, was in the logistics sector. And were strategic transactions executed by one particular market participant. So I think when you look at REIT M&A activity in 2019, a lot of it was centered in logistics, much different in 2018, where we saw more diverse set of activities across sectors. I think when you look outside of logistics, some of the themes that we tend to see investors orienting around are themes that are based on creating, you know, an experience for people generally. It could be gaming, it could be leisure, it could be variants of that, but there continues to be a lot of marketplace activity, both in terms of completed transactions, pending transactions, and pipeline activity that are orienting around that theme. There continues to be a great deal of activity in the prop tech space. We're actually seeing some investors beginning to focus on things like co-living as ways to address housing affordability. And there also is a lot of activity, and there's a number of examples of activity in the technology space, data centers, and other variants of telecommunications where investors are gravitating presently in the market, and we saw it a lot in 2019.
Now, 2019 was a record year for public REIT fundraising. Is this a trend that you think could hold into 2020?
So you're right. FY19 was a strong year for fundraising for real estate in both the public and the private markets. For REITs, just to focus on REITs for a moment, secondary offerings, you know, excluding activity associated with at-the-market offerings by REITs was $36 billion, including at-the-market offerings was $45 billion. Which is quite healthy, but I think the thing that stood out most to us was in the secondary debt space, where we saw 130 offerings raising $62 billion, which is the highest that it's been over the last 9 years. And that activity on the debt side was diversified or kind of comprised across a number of different sectors. And our view is that that's driven by, among other things, one, just the continued low interest rate environment that we've been experiencing for quite some time. And I think some are of the view that we'll continue to see downward pressure on rates moving into 2020. And another element that we think is driving some of this activity is just the continued changes in the regulatory landscape among lending institutions that's causing mortgage REITs to be very active in the marketplace. And, you know, we do expect that to continue absent, you know, some kind of event, geopolitical or otherwise, that causes volatility to significantly increase in the market and REITs to trade down, therefore not be viewed as accretive to raise capital externally. The one thing we do want to point out is that there's two things to point out to conclude our comments on this question. One is, there has been a lack of IPOs in the marketplace, and we think that too will likely continue for the reason that unless there's a differentiated story, that we just think that the REITs that are there today are fulfilling investor demand. And the other thing is that those statistics that I mentioned, which are quite significant, exclude all the activity that we're seeing in the non-traded REIT space. And so when you factor those activities in 2019, non-traded REITs raised another $8 billion in equity capital. And that was roughly 1.6 times all of that was raised in 2018. So I think when you combine those two things, both in the traded, the non-traded space, as well as the activity in the private real estate fund market, the capital being raised by real estate continues to be quite healthy.
And what portion are foreign investors playing in that picture?
Yeah, so across sectors, foreign investors continue to be quite active. Canada continued to lead cross-border activity by a wide margin, and it's been that way since 2017. From there, when you go down, there's actually quite a significant decline in the amount of activity between Canada and the next market participant would be Germany, followed by Singapore, Switzerland, and Israel. So we continue to see a lot of foreign activity in the U.S. markets. We expect that will continue. The specific countries that are active have to some degree remained stable, but there tends to be movement among those outside of the top. And so we still have a view that we'll see a lot of foreign activity despite some of the marketplace dynamics that are being experienced by foreign investors.
And what are some of the key risk factors that investors are grappling with right now?
Yes, I think we would be naive to not comment that today is a challenging operating environment. And so some of the things that we see investors spending time on, and there's a lot of them, but here's, you know, just some examples that we see investors spend more time on. One, valuation continues to be a key consideration, just given where we are in the cycle. Regulation, and there's multiple dimensions to regulation. It touches everything from rent control to taxes to regulating technology firms. We have the forthcoming elections. More recently, we've had the effects of epidemics such as the coronavirus, which is a particular area of focus in hospitality, gaming, and leisure. We've seen a significant uptick in the amount of time that market participants, not just in real estate, but across sectors, are spending on economic, social, and governance-related matters, and in particular, the focus on cost structure. And so for REITs, one of the areas where we see investors spending quite a bit of time is on the insurance side, and the idea that perhaps it may make commercial sense to put in place a structure internally to help manage some of those costs. I mentioned technology earlier. There are and continues to be shifting business models, and the idea that the way that, you know, things were done in the past are not the way that they're likely going to be done in the future. And so we see investors in developing their investment theses focusing on that. And then the final one I mentioned, again, not all inclusive list, but one that we are in particular are spending a lot of time, in addition to what we see investors spending time on, is the effects of economic decoupling and what is the effect on real estate activity if China and the U.S. in particular tend to kind of decouple from how they've historically operated in the past.
And finally, are there any other issues that you'll be watching closely in the coming months?
So we on a regular basis, we look at a number of things to kind of develop a point of view on market activity and other matters. We think the three things that may not be entirely priced in the market and thus we're watching the most closely are one, the economic decoupling that I just described, two, the continued effects of technology, and then three, just the continued kind of advancement of initiatives around economic, social, and governance-related matters. Those are the three areas that we're spending the most time on, aside from kind of the normal things that we look at on a regular basis.
Okay, great. Tim, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having us.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or leave a review on iTunes. And for more information on REITs, be sure to visit NearREIT's website, REIT.com.